Hello, and welcome to the first ever podcast by Proverb Shepherd. I am incredibly humbled and excited to be here in front of a camera, which is weird because I usually don't like to be the subject of attention or talk very much. So I'm hoping that throughout this journey that I learn how to articulate what I'm trying to say good and, you know, just like become a better speaker, because I, like, you can ask anybody, I am the quiet one. So I take everything in. I don't really push anything out, but I felt a calling to do this and to be here doing it. So here we are. I feel like it's already been so wonderful for my faith journey, and I really hope that it helps you guys on yours, wherever you're at. And yeah, I'm super excited to be here, and let's just dive right into it. So I want to talk about Proverb Shepherd, what it is, and what we hope to be eventually. Just right now, it's kind of a work in progress. We decided that we could get at least a blog and a podcast up and running, and like social medias and everything, because eventually, and we're working on it right now, is a online learning platform to teach the gospel and to teach the Bible in just like a more interactive and fun way, and to get like communities together. You could, like, you know, place bets on who scores better on their tests, or like just fun stuff like that. And just so eventually it's gonna be, we're gonna keep the podcast and the blog going and the social media channels, obviously. It'll be a place for people to go and learn the truth about the entire universe. So that's exciting, and we'll keep you updated on when that comes out. And then, yeah, we want to have a clothing section too, because I always walk around and I see all these people wearing Christ-related attire, and I just think to myself, I'm like, wow, that's such an amazing way to spread Jesus's character and to embody him in such a wonderful way. So we got that coming out too. We're going to have He Walks With Me shoes and, you know, the Armor of God clothing and My Body's a Temple athletic wear. We're really excited. We have so many great plans that God inspired us to bring to life, and that's what we're trying to do. So we're also gonna have a donation spot on the website, where we donate to mission charities and really just help other Christians in need, even not Christians, maybe just give to whoever needs it, and really just hone in on this messaging that God is, he's kind, he's caring, he sees you, and we want to be a beacon of light for people. So yeah, I'm super excited, and so now if only I could stop saying exactly, like I said. So I want to talk about how Proverb Shepherd got the name. So I have been marinating in this idea for like 3 months now, and it's just kind of crazy the way that the Lord works, because when you least expect it, he's gonna speak to you. He's gonna call something to your attention that you don't even like you wouldn't have noticed it before, you know, like you're here, you probably have seen a few of God's works in your life, if you're here, I would assume. So basically, this verse stood out to me, and it's Proverbs 18:15, and it is for the heart of the discerning requires, it's Proverbs 18:15, and it's the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the wise seek it out. And I was like, that's really what I want to be about. You know, I want to just speak wisdom and speak the truth, the wisdom of the Bible, the truth of the Bible. And I want to have people who have hearts that are, you know, looking and in pursuit of knowledge. I want to have that kind of an audience, and I want to be able to help people who maybe don't have the resources that they need, or maybe they're not in the right way. So this is just like, this isn't church. This isn't, you know, just sitting down with your Bible and reading it. This is interactive. It's a community, and it's a different way for people to attain knowledge. And so that verse really stood out to me. And so that is like at the forefront of everything that we do here. And then I was talking to God about the name, and I remember that Bible verse, and I was thinking about what Proverbs mean, or a proverb, at least. Well, I was thinking about what proverb means, and that means usually wisdom. And then shepherd is what Jesus is called a lot in the Bible, because he's, you know, he's getting all of these people to the promised land, basically, and the kingdom of heaven. And I was like, he does that through wisdom. He does that through teaching and through performing miracles. Obviously, I can't perform the miracles that he did. But I was like, Proverbs shepherd, like guiding people to wisdom. I was like, that is perfect. And I was so excited when I realized that the initials for that were PS, because then I was thinking, PS what? And then it hit me. It was like, boom, P.S. Jesus loves you. And my marketing brain, I was like, that's going to look so good on like t-shirts and shoes and and clothes and stickers and everything. I'm so excited about this, you guys. It's going to be so wonderful. And I'm taking it just baby steps at a time, getting this podcast up and running, and just thinking my eyes are on the prize here, like the future, the long term, and getting everybody behind this before it actually comes out, I think will be really incredible for the platform that we're trying to build. So yeah, that's a little bit about Proverb Shepherd. Did I talk about what it's going to be? I don't know. If not, I will. I think I did. Yeah, I did. Anyways. So I'll introduce you to myself, I guess. My name is Bailey Dukek. I have been a Christian for all of my life. I was baptized when I was younger, and I'd go to church on and off growing up. But I never really felt close to God like I do now. I think for a long time I took it as something that people do, and like, I've always believed in God. I've always believed that Jesus died for our sins. I've always, you know, believed that there's something bigger than all of us. But I've never really felt that importance in my life. Like, I had never really felt like it was super important for me to read the Bible, or if it was like the choice of going out and partying or staying in, I would always go out and party because I'm like, you only live once. You know, like I had this kind of mindset about life where it was just me. And now I'm just realizing that it's Jesus. It is Jesus, you guys. And I have never been happier, honestly. And I have never been more patient. I've never been not an anxious person, and now I am, and it's incredible what he is able to do in your lives. So yeah, I'd say about 5 years ago I joined the army. I'm gonna go before that. So I was in high school, and I was kind of destined to be the life of the party, I thought, and so I kind of had like a pretty horrible like addiction to partying and to just not being a very virtuous woman, I guess. And I went to college, and it was a time of isolation for me, and so I was kind of just binge drinking by myself, and I didn't make any friends, and it was just a horrible time. And I hadn't been at the point where I was like, okay, like, God, what am I supposed to do? I never really turned to him for anything, but I know he was working in my life because of how I got to where I am today, and I know that he played a big part in that journey for me. So I was financially burdened, I was emotionally burdened, I just, like, every burden you could think of, I was burdened. And I wasn't sure how I was going to pay for college, so I was just, like, thinking about it for a long time. I was like, I was going to a pretty expensive college at the time, and I obviously wasn't happy, I wasn't thriving, I wasn't making amazing friends that are going to last me forever. And so I one weekend my parents were going to visit my brother in Missouri, and he was stationed there because he was a Marine, and we were on base, and he was pointing to a bunch of people off in the distance. And it, to me, it looked like they were having a good time, you know, like they were laughing and, like, just being goofy with each other. And he was like, that's the Army, people going through basic training right now. And I, like, something in my brain was like, I could do that. Like, that looks like a good time, actually. And fast forward a month later, I signed up for the Army, for the National Guard. And it was like everything I needed in one thing, like everything I was struggling with was just completely solved. Like, I got my school paid for. Before that, I was struggling with an eating disorder and with body dysmorphia, just body image issues in general, which, if you're a girl and you struggle with the same things, I will have a podcast episode about that as well. But yeah, I have body image issues, just money in general, not having money, friends, just confidence. And I went to basic training and I found the best friends ever. And the body image went away and the confidence came up, and I had money for the first time, and I had free college, and I feel like that was the spark of everything. I came home from that and I didn't really want to party anymore. I still did a few times, but it didn't really feel the same. It wasn't fulfilling to me anymore. It just kind of took more out of me than it gave me. And thank God, you know, like, so yeah, that was about 5 years ago that I joined the National Guard, and I have about a year left. But when I really, really started following the gospel and trying to be more obedient and, you know, just wanting to know enough personally where I can share this amazing thing, this amazing gift that we were given with everybody I see, that was about a year ago. So I was living in Minneapolis downtown, and I don't know if you know anything about downtown Minneapolis, but it could be scary. So it was just me and my dog, and I was doing a master's program, so I had to go to, like, campus every day, and every night I would come back and I would just be scared. Like, there was drugs everywhere, really, like, just really scary people all over the place. And I genuinely felt like I was in fight or flight, like the entire time I was in my apartment, and like, you need to feel safe. Just like that's a necessary need to have. And I had nobody in the area that I could like rely on, really. It was just me and my dog. So I felt kind of helpless about that situation because I felt like I was stuck there for a year, and I knew that if I stayed there that something bad would actually happen to me. I was hearing gunshots every night, and it was really traumatic for me. I still can't really go to cities and feel safe because I know what actually happens in them. And honestly, this brought me to like a spiritual realization as well as a political one. I'm like, why are we in America and people don't feel safe to be in their homes? And I know I'm not the only one, and I know that like that for me was like a mild experience compared to what a lot of other people experience. But for me, I was actually like genuinely shaking the entire time I was at my apartment, and I couldn't like it was horrible. But yeah, we'll get into that whole journey that it took me on. So I felt stuck where I was, and I didn't really think that I'd be able to get out of that apartment because of the lease issues. And basically what ended up happening was I had to get a loan to pay out 2 months of my lease, and then put a down payment on a new apartment. And honestly, that was the most incredible thing that I ever did, because guess what was the situation of my new apartment? Okay, I'll just tell you. So it was, I get to my new apartment and I look out the window, and it's like building and building and then another building. So they're all owned by the same people. And I look out my window and there's Ephesians Bible verses written on the side of the walls. I'm like, if God did not deliver me from that situation, who did? And that was like when I was like, oh wow. He sees me and he is incredible. There is nothing he can't do. And so that was kind of my revelation, where I was like, okay, this is serious and we need to do something about it. So I bought a bunch of Bibles and I just started going ham. And where that's taken me today is just like, now I'm, just like, you don't want to watch the same shows you used to watch. You don't want to listen to secular music anymore. You want to be like all Jesus all the time because of how incredible that he can be in your life. And that's where I am today, and I'm super pumped about it. I wouldn't want it any other way. So yeah, that's a little about me. That's just like my testimony, I think. And otherwise, I am born and raised in Minnesota, a small town girl. Yeah, I have two brothers, two loving parents. I've been incredibly blessed by my family. I have a really big family. We're all super close. And I went to the U of M, the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis, for a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, and right now I'm on the job hunt. So if anybody knows anybody that's hiring a marketing communications person, give me a call. I'm kidding. But yeah, so the job hunt hasn't been very fun this summer. All I've done really is look at jobs and read my Bible and just stay patient and wait on God's timing. So anyways, that's a lot about me that you're probably not here to hear about that, but let's get into it. So how I want this podcast to work is, we're gonna go through this bad boy one chapter by chapter and page by page. So today, since we are in the first episode, the Genesis episode, obviously we're going to be reading from Genesis. And also because it's the first book. Okay, so I'm pretty sure if you're here, you all know that Genesis starts out by God creating the heavens and the earth, and it took 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, and that created the Sabbath day. And then if you don't know about the Sabbath day, it is the day that God rested, and it is the day that God blessed and declared holy, and so that we're not supposed to work on it. We're supposed to just rest and, you know, live a holy, holy day. So, yeah. And then God formed a man from dust in the ground and breathed life into his nostrils, and that man became Adam. And then he took one of Adam's ribs and closed the flesh at that place. And it says in Genesis 2:22, then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And it says, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. So then they are tempted in the Garden of Eden. So God said that you can eat from any tree in the garden except for one, basically. And, you know, the serpent, or Satan, I guess, tempted Eve. And he was like, he really said not to eat these apples, like, that's kind of ridiculous. And so Eve said that, yeah, he told us that we can eat from any tree besides the one in the middle of the garden, or else we'll die. And then the serpent said, no, you will not certainly die. You will certainly not die. Yada yada. Like, he's lying to you. God is lying to you, basically. And I mean, she died. Like, let's be honest. She fell into that temptation and she ate from the apple. And then now she battles with sin, which is death. So, I mean, God didn't lie. But yeah, so she ate the apple. She got Adam to eat the apple. And God was not very happy about that. So basically, he cursed the serpents. And he said that they will move on their bellies and eat dust for the rest of their days, which is what has happened. And he said that women are going to have horrible labor pains, and bearing children will be very painful, which happened. So thank you very much, Eve, for that little tidbit. And he said to the man, because you listened to your wife, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree that I commanded you not to. It means painful labor all the days of your life. So yeah, he cursed everybody who disobeyed him, and that is the story of how we got our free will, and that is why we're able to sin, even though we don't want to, or sometimes we do want to, and we do it anyways, and yeah, so... Then we get into the story of Cain and Abel. And so Cain and Abel are Adam and Eve's sons. And they work in the fields. Abel is a shepherd and Cain works on the ground. And Cain was very jealous of his brother Abel. And eventually murdered him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where's your brother Abel?" And he said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's guardian? Like, why am I supposed to know?" And God obviously knew what happened. He's God, right? He said, "Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." And the Lord said, "Whoever kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Does that make sense? So he said that he's cursed, Cain is, now alienated from the ground that opens its mouth to receive your brother's blood you have shed. If you work the ground, it will never again give you its yield, and he will be a restless wanderer of the earth. And obviously... Cain was like, "Whoever finds me will kill me if I'm just wandering the earth randomly." And so then the Lord says, "Whoever kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." And he placed a mark on Cain so that nobody would ever kill him. So yeah, Cain basically found a wife and reproduced. And basically it goes, Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and then Noah. And then Noah has three sons, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. So basically, Lamech, Noah's father, was 182 years old when he had him, and he knew that this one will bring us relief from the agonizing labor of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. So it's been generations of the ground being cursed and people falling into the temptations of sin, and then Noah comes along, and if you know about Noah, you know about his ark. And it says that the human mind was nothing but evil all the time. And so God warns Noah. And so basically God warns Noah that these people are just way too evil. Basically, I'm going to take them all out. And that you have to build an ark because I'm going to flood the earth. And this is so incredibly incredible because Noah was not living in a time where he had ever seen a boat, let alone a huge, big, huge ark. You know, like, he had to build this thing. And he was being mocked by everybody. Like, it was incredible that his family got on the ark with him because they didn't really believe him that it was happening. And then the flood happened. Noah built the ark. And it says that he did everything that God had commanded him. So, yeah. Noah was 600 years old when the flood came and water covered the earth. Like, you guys, I'm 23 and sometimes it, like, hurts to get out of bed. He's 600 building this huge ark. That's crazy. So, basically, God tells him to bring a male and its female of all the animals on the ark. And just to be ready for this flood that's coming to destroy the earth and all the people that I've created who are now evil in everything that they do and think and say. So the flood comes. All the animals are on the ark. Noah, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives enter the ark. And yeah, the flood continued for 40 days on the earth. The ark rose above the earth. So it says that after 150 days, the water decreased significantly, and Noah sent a raven back and forth until the water dried up from the earth. Then he sent a dove to see whether the water of the earth's surface had gone down. But the dove found no resting place for its foot, and it returned to the ark because water covered the surface of the whole earth. So Noah waited, and he sent the dove again. When the dove came at him this evening, there was a plucked olive leaf in its beak. So Noah knew the water of the surface had gone down, and he waited another 7 days, sent out another dove, but it did not return to him. And it says, by the 27th day of the second month, the earth was dry. And then God gave a promise. He said, I will never curse this ground because of human beings, even though the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth onwards, and I will never strike down every living thing as I have done. And the symbol of that covenant is the rainbow. And that is beautiful. So God also made a covenant with Noah, and he blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So kind of Adam and Eve's lineage is wiped out until Noah. And then Noah and his wife's lineage carries on for the rest of us, you know. And there's prophecies about Noah's family. And then Shem, Noah's son, had a son named Abram. No. Shem. Shem fathered somebody, and then they fathered somebody else. And okay, so it's been like generations at this point until this guy named Abram was born. And Abram's wife was named Sarai. So generations after the ark, a man named Abram was born, and Abram had a wife named Sarai, and that is important for a little bit later on in the story. So So basically, God calls on Abram, and he wants to make a great nation. And so Abram went, as the Lord told him, and he had a grandson named Lot, and he also went with him. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot. No, it's a nephew. So Abram went, as the Lord told him, and he had a nephew, Lot, who went with him. It says, Abram was 75 years old when he left where he was from, and he took his wife and his nephew and all the possessions, and they went to the land of Canaan. And then the Lord said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. And then Abram went to Egypt to stay there because the famine was so severe. So Abram and Lot get separated, and then Lot was taken. He was taken prisoner. And so Abram assembled 318 trained men, and they went in pursuit of him as far as Dan. And they defeated him. And it says that he brought back all the goods, and also his relatives Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the other people. So, yeah. Then there's a thing called the Abrahamic Covenant. And it's basically God says to Abram, do not be afraid, I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. And then the story goes into a little bit about his wife and his slave. So his wife's name Sarai, and she has been unable at this point to produce any children. But Hagar, who is his slave, his Egyptian slave, decides that she can build a family for Abram. And Abram agreed. So So he slept with Hagar, and she bore children. And then she decided that she is running away from Sarai. Apparently Sarai had been kind of hateful towards her, which if you're a woman, you can probably understand. But also, like, she's bearing your husband's child. So, and it's different times then, so whatever. So basically she says she's running away, and the Lord follows her with an angel and says, go back to your mistress and submit to her authority. And then the angel of the Lord said to her again, I will greatly multiply your offspring, and there will be too many to count. So basically it's like she has conceived this son, and now she's being mistreated by Sarai. So she tries to run away. The angel follows her and catches up to her and says, please go back. So she goes back. She gave birth to Abram's son, and Abram named his son Ishmael. And he was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. And then there was a covenant for circumcision. Basically, you had to get circumcised if you wanted to be a child of God. And then God says, your name is not Abram anymore, your name is Abraham. And then he says to Sarai that her name is not Sarai anymore, it is Sarah. Okay, so yeah, we've gotten into a bit of the Bible. We ended at about Genesis 18, so we're going to do that every week. Just go piece by piece and get through it together. And if you have any advice or comments on what kind of style you'd like me to do that, like a story time or just like reading straight up from it, I would be very receptive to whatever you're thinking about wanting. So now we're going to go into the news and just talk about breaking news and all that stuff. Talk about what's going on in the country today. So, I'm unfortunately on CNN right now. Basically, there's another hurricane. It's exploding to a Category 5 on track to the Florida Gulf Coast. And its name is Hurricane Milton. So, Tampa's mayor identifies a big problem. It's going to hit Tampa again. And who knows where it'll go after that. And another story says Helene could cost property owners more than $47 billion. That's crazy, and all they get is maybe $750 to build it back? Like, bruh. Harris's border visit and economy speech capture attention amid warning signs. Warning signs of what? Also, she went to the border for like a half hour and she knows nothing about the economy. I'm sorry. I'm it's important to, as Christians, to care about who leads your country, to care about their ideals and their plans for what they want to do. I don't like Kamala Harris. I respect Donald Trump. I don't think that he is a likable person to many people. I can see why people are turned off by him. I had been turned off by him for a long time. But I do believe that he is the best thing for this country. Well, besides if everybody became followers of Jesus Christ, that would be the best thing for this country. But I think that Trump's ideals and his, just the way that he's going to tackle the economy and the border and crime and drugs, and I think that he's going to make this country way more safe and a lot more prosperous and a lot richer. And I think that Kamala will do the opposite, honestly. And I don't like how much she lies. And if you follow anything besides CNN news, you'll see that everything she says pretty much is a lie. So, I mean, like, if that turns you off from this whole thing, like, you guys gotta do your research. Obviously, you don't just take it from me, but I am fine if you think that this isn't a good match because of the politics. I kind of think that proves my point a little bit more, because if you are going to sacrifice your ideals for somebody who has completely disturbed ideals, that's a problem. And I think you should do a deep dive into what you believe and what you think is right. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I hope it makes sense. And then it says that Harris appears on Call Her Daddy podcast. Hear what she said about Trump. I watched that podcast. I had watched it for years growing up, the Caller Daddy podcast, until recently when I was inventorying everything that I really don't want in my life anymore, and that was one of them, and Alex Cooper was one of them. And when I found out that Kamala was going on it, I kind of wanted to throw up a little bit, because, like, you're a vice president and you're trying to be the future president, and you're going to go on a podcast that talks about sex and just crazy behavior. And, like, I watched the podcast and there was so much misinformation being spread to people, and it's just disturbing. It's disturbing. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing anybody can do about it. It happened. It's done. And people are still dying in North Carolina. And just like hurricane survivors are still trying to build their lives back. And she goes on this podcast. And it's just not right. It's so not right. And I really, it's heartbreaking that people are falling victim into this. Just, you know, like, all of these lies that she's telling and all of this, like, misrepresentation of people and how evil they're making Trump sound when they're making her look like she's going to be, like, really amazing in the presidency when she's not. When she's made this country worse in the last 3.5 years that she's been in office, and she does things like that. Like, people actually need help from the government right now. And she's more concerned about being on a sex podcast and giving illegal immigrants free money that should go to actual American citizens in need right now. Anyways, there's nothing I can do about that. I can just sit here and tell you about it and why it's wrong. Let's see. Then there's a story. Breyer Stetler breaks down what Elon Musk's appearance with Trump means. I think that's a great duo right there, Elon Musk and Trump. I think that it took a lot of courage for Elon to support Trump in the way that he has. And I think it's awesome. And also what Elon has done for the people of North Carolina with the Starlink and trying to help people find their family members who they haven't been able to contact because power's out, service is down, you know, like, I think that I didn't really know much about him until recently, but I think he's a good person, and I support this endorsement that he's done. Madonna remembers her brother Christopher something. Okay. Have I got news for you? Comedian spotted something off about J.D. Vance photo. Okay. How the infamous puppy episode changed TV. I don't know what that is. Meghan, Duchess of Sussex, striking red gown worn at a charity gala isn't entirely new. Okay. Andrew Garfield recalls an awkward moment when he and Florence Poe didn't hear cut while filming Love Scene. That's kind of funny. Okay, so that's CNN news. We're going to get some biased news the other side now on Fox News. See those headlines. Millions brace for the worst as monster hurricane intensifies to catastrophic levels. Yeah, we kind of talked about that already on the last one. Video nukes, White House defense. As Americans left short on funds spent on illegal immigrants. Harris doubles down on claims that Harris doubles down on claim that doctors warn is dangerously misleading. And yes, fear-mongering abortion lie. that there's abortion bans, and I don't even know why that's fear-mongering people, because that's murder. Anyways, basically people are saying that if Donald Trump is elected, he's going to ban abortions nationwide and make it so that women are not allowed to have any decisions about what happens with their bodies. There's many problems with this lie, but first of all, it's a lie, because when Donald Trump reversed Roe v. Wade in his last term, all that did was bring it to the states. So basically, if you had like 90% of people in Georgia who are opposed to abortion, that law for Georgia would be that, hey, there's going to be a lot more restrictions in Georgia on getting an abortion. Whereas if you have in California, 90% of people support abortion. The law for California is going, like, you see what I mean? It makes the system entirely more democratic. It gives more people, like, nationally what they want. And it doesn't allow one main person to make decisions on women's bodies. And it's like, they're saying that he's going to ban it nationwide, which is just a huge lie. And I guess if you need to lie to win, like, maybe don't run. You know, like, maybe become a better person. Whatever, I don't know. Anyways, a group of voters that historically rally behind Dem candidates are abandoning VP Harris. I think that's amazing. Teacher fired for refusing to use a trans student's pronoun has the final word. This episode has already been very political. It's important to worry and to care about politics as a Christian, because I don't know if you remembered when the churches got shut down during COVID, when they were talking about banning the Bible. And that never happened, obviously, but it's important to care about politics, but it's important to care about your relationship with God before that. And you have to make sure that you're allowed to have a relationship with God. So that's why you care about politics. And I feel like as a Christian, I want to see this country be joyous and prosperous. And I want to see women be able to walk the streets at night and not be scared. I want to see people doing the right thing and following the rules and just actually living the American dream and enjoying the freedoms that we have as American people. And this election right now is so important because we have somebody who's running who's dangerously liberal, who's letting all of these criminals in to the country on our dime, honestly, and they're getting treated better than actual American citizens. And I know in the Bible it says to care a lot for the least of these, but that's talking about like the lepers and the poor people and like the children. And if you want to use that verse, like, let's care about unborn babies, let's care about the hurricane victims and the hurricane survivors, like, let's care about the people in poverty in this country who are scared and who can't afford groceries and who can't afford rent or heat or air conditioning. Let's care for those least of these. Like, the Bible also talks a lot about borders and, like, about borders and territories and making sure that clans and, you know, sub-clans, whatever, making sure that clans stay to clan. And right now we're being invaded, you know, like America doesn't feel like America anymore. And I think that this election is the most important one that we've ever had. So that's why we need to care about politics. Now let's get into some pop culture and all right. Celine Dion teams up with Sunday Night Football. That's kind of cool. Joker 2 stumbles at box office with lackluster $40 million debut. Okay. Influencer Jack Doherty crashes $200,000 McLaren while driving on a live stream. I actually saw that video. It looked very scary. So I'm praying for him. And he seemed okay. Just kind of losing his mind that he crashed his really expensive car. There's Simone Biles Rising Part 2, which is a new documentary to watch. Anna Kendrick, Nicolette Robinson, Talk Woman of the Hour. Amid a contentious campaign season, SNL depicts a Vance Wallace bromance. That's kind of funny, I guess. Rabbis embrace hot rabbi and nobody wants this, but not its portrayal of Jewish women. I don't know how I feel about that. Madonna's brother Christopher dies after battle with cancer. All right, so prayers going out to Madonna. Ooh, hair and makeup artist accuses Garth Brooks of sexual assault and battery in lawsuit. It says that lawsuit alleges the incidents happened over several years while Jane Roe was working for Brooks. He has denied the allegation. Oh gosh. I hope that's not true. Rust film starring Alec Baldwin to premiere next month, 3 years after fatal set shooting. Oh. Western drama will have its world premiere at the Karamage Festival in Poland next month. I think I remember that, hearing about a shooting on the set, something like that. Matthew Perry's doctor charged for overdose death pleads guilty. Mark Chavez could still face up to 10 years in prison after pleading to conspiring to distribute ketamine. Wow. Rich homie Kwan died from accidental drug overdose involving fentanyl and codeine. The rapper was killed by the combined toxic effects of fentanyl, alprazolam, codeine, and promethazine, according to Georgia Medical Examiner. That was 5 days ago. Texas man says he smashed a $4,000 guitar signed by Taylor Swift as a joke. The viral moment happened Saturday night at the Ellis County Wild Game Dinner in Waxahachie. I saw that video as well. So that video was kind of funny because he bought this guitar and he just smashed it. Because he doesn't like Taylor Swift, and I don't really blame him. That's another thing, like all of the celebrities that I was looking up to and just thought the world of, kind of just, like, when you get closer to Jesus, they're not really special, you know, and they're actually kind of crooked people. Sometimes there's good ones, sometimes, but... yeah, that's another one where I was just like, not really a fan anymore. Anyways. Sean Diddy Combs hit with a wave of 120 new sexual assault allegations. A Texas-based attorney said he's representing more than 100 accusers in a series of new lawsuits he'll file against Diddy. Wow. And, yeah, that's another reason where you should not believe everything you see online, because, like, you know, like, we've for years seen the influx of social media and seen how many, like, celebrities are living this amazing life. And the behind the scenes of all the crazy parties and just, like, the life that people are fortunate enough to live, what they have to do to actually maintain that and to maintain their relationships with their friends and everything. Like, it's not actually luxurious, people. Okay. And that is all we're going to talk about today. So I feel so blessed. I feel so incredibly blessed, again, to just sit here and to talk to you. To sit here and to talk to you about the news and to talk to you about Jesus and to talk to you about the Bible. Like, this is, I feel like this is it for me. This is spectacular. I'm feeling very honored, and I pray that we get more like-minded people to tune in and to really just enjoy this journey with us. So thank you. Bye.